Hello, thank you for joining us. We're in our New Life series, educational series with Dr. Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And we want to learn with you together from Rav Lightman how to build our lives here in Israel in a new way, like one family. We want to get up in the morning with a big light in our eyes, with a feeling that whoever's next to us is looking after us, loving us, and wants the best for us. And we want the same for them. And we want to create here together a new place where inside the society that we know, we start living a new life, a life of warmth and connection. So to understand this big vision of Rav Lightman's for the Israeli society that will be like one family, each time we take a various element of the Israeli ancient culture, we try to look at it in a new light and understand how these insights and feelings can take our life to a new place. Our subject today is something that personally it really excites me, and I'll tell you why. Today we want to speak about the prophets of Israel. Why is it so exciting? We spoke in previous shows about all kinds of things from the ancient Jewish culture, but when we were preparing for the show today, and I read in the Bible, in the Tanakh, all kinds of prophecies, I remembered my childhood, that ever since I was a young child, in shul, in synagogue, apart from the weekly portion, they used to read something from the prophets. I grew up in a religious family, not just any religious program, but in a Yemenite family. And we have a tradition before going to synagogue. There's a tradition that on Friday evening, after we finish the meal and the songs and everything, apart from reading the whole portion together, we read also the Haftarah. And I remember that my father, when we used to finish the weekly portion, it would pass. And then when we'd read the Haftarah, I felt as if it's not just that we're reading, but it's like he's talking to me. What does it mean, talking to me? I felt as if it's giving me advice for my life through what the prophets are saying. What things do I remember? It even used to come across in the tone of what he's saying. It's like he's saying, Oren, my dear son, if you want a good life, pick up the frequency of what he's saying here. This is the truth. This is the justice. This is what's pure. Don't get mixed up with what you hear and see around you, that this is how you have to treat people. It basically comes down to how you treat people, that this is how you succeed in life. This is all rubbish. This is the original. What you hear from him, this is the original. What you hear, what God wants from a person, this is here. He wants you to be a good person. He wants love between people. He doesn't pay attention to your prayers and all that. He wants your heart. He wants your heart to be open to other people. And now when I look back, I see that this emphasis that I felt, that my father's educating me and directing me how it's correct to live as a person according to what the prophets wrote thousands of years ago, I understand that now it's so powerful inside me, and it brings us to our discussion today. When we look at Jewish history, I think there's no question that the prophets were the greatest people, the people that understood life completely, the people of truth. And the question is, how can you explain to us this phenomenon of the wise ones of Israel? What makes a person so smart? Why does he understand life on the sword, and he knows to cut what's the main thing, the marginal, what's truth, what's fake? Where does this wisdom come from? From knowing the network of connection between people. If we even take, for example, another source, much later, the book of Ramchal, Derech Hashem, Luchato. It's the 16th century, the 17th century, I think, maybe the 17th century. In Italy, It's a completely different era, and he writes their stages that a person goes up by through love, through connection, through sympathy, compromise, through all this internal work that he does on his desires, on his heart. He goes through all the stages and reaches the higher stages, and one is called nevuah, prophecy. What does it mean? That he sees such a connection between people and between people and the rest of nature, from the degree of the speaking level, the human level. He sees how from there, even though the roots go down more and more and more downward to the animal level, the vegetative level, the inanimate level, and how all these stages in nature are connected, these degrees, and how one force envelops them, is around them, in an integral global manner. And all this operates as one system that's called reality. And then we verify what can a person do with that same reality. And then when they research it, they see that truly through compromising on the ego, giving up your ego, that you can feel others, that you can integrate with others like you feel yourself, love thy neighbor as thyself. Through this, you begin to feel what's happening in them, everyone, in all of reality, even more so than what you see, because our senses are things that you can absorb, but when you go outward and feel them, how they are, all the inanimate, animate, vegetative, and human especially, then you begin to feel, you begin to live them. And then you get new sensations, new feelings. What the vegetative doesn't have compared to the speaking level, what the animate level compared to the human level, and what and compared to the egoistic human and the person that goes out of himself, that lives inside everyone, inside his fellow man. He first and foremost feels all the levels of nature, of reality, because he's capable of getting out of his ego to such an extent. And he also feels the generalness of all of reality, that it's like the wisdom of the collective, it's the network connecting everyone, balancing everyone, and how he, this person, can influence this network to calm it down, to bring it into balance. And these people, they see all the situations that can be inside this network that connects us. And when they go out into the network, they don't have a sense of time, but rather they have a sense of the situation. In this situation, this will happen. In this situation, this will happen. And then they talk about it as if it's about to happen, because they see the development of the network. And then they say, if we behave like this and like this, then there will be a reaction from the connection between us, a really bad, extreme reaction. If we behave like this, there'll be a good reaction. They don't tell us, do this, this, and this will happen for sure. But rather, if it depends on the person, to the extent that we, in accordance with our work on our ego, we will become integrated in this network and transform it into a good connection between us and all the parts of reality. That's how it works. So there are prophets at two levels. One says, I heard. I had a voice. I heard a voice. I heard. It was spoken to me that this is the degree of Bina, the degree of understanding, but only understanding. What does he understand? He understands that this is how it will take place. And there's a degree I saw, an even higher degree, like between hearing and seeing, where he not only knows that this will take place, he also knows why. It's even deeper. He goes even deeper into the network. We know that even in court, when they bring a person, they don't ask him, did you see or hear? If you saw, if you didn't see, you're not a witness. A witness is someone who saw, that he's integrated in a maximum manner in the reality, in all his senses. That about sight, we say, here there's no question, but hearing, a broken phone, as people say, it can be anything. Therefore, there's prophets that say, I heard, and there's prophets that say, I saw. But all of them, those and those, and even people at stages before prophecy, they have acquired the network, the connection between us, to the extent that they are more and more sophisticated in the implementation, realization of love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is how they reach the degrees of prophecy. But all the prophets, first of all, they spoke about the days of the Messiah, about a time when people will begin to feel that they require a special force that will pull them from self-love to love of others, to get out of my body, to get out of my skin. I have to, otherwise the whole world and I are advancing to a collapse. This force that pulls me out toward my fellow man, towards others, is the Messiah pulling Moshech. That's it. So precisely because of this in our time, the situation in the world and corporality, the world looks more connected, rounder, the butterfly effect, all those things, and we're beginning more and more to see that it all depends on a man's nature, and can we correct it or not? And this whole mess that's happening now, meaning we need the force pulling us from our ego outward toward others. Otherwise, if this network is revealed, the connection between us, we won't be able to suffer the gap between how egoistic we are and this network that comes and connects us together. We're imagining ourselves as one small family in one small apartment, and we all hate each other. We can't live like that. Therefore, along with that, the integral education is being revealed that explains to us what we can do. And the prophets here can help us a lot. If we analyze them, even though it's high degrees for understanding the general network, but that's what prophets reached. That's what they achieved. That's what they spoke of. Why did they have a need precisely? Why were we given these prophets? For those times, all of Israel was in love of brothers. They were all as one man with one heart and mutual responsibility. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore they attained it, because the whole people, the whole nation, were not in the same level of attainment as the prophets, but they had attained the connection between them. The whole people, the whole nation, they were like a foundation for those prophets that could grow out of the people. The special ones, the wise ones. But in our time, whereas prophecy, also the era of the prophets, ended far before the destruction of the temple. I didn't really understand what you said, because part of the prophets were in a situation where there, when things were good in the nation, and you could even reach higher levels of attainment of the connection, but there were prophets, or some of them, that lived in eras. There were eras when they lived in Israel, when Israel was in really bad shape, and they came and said that our relations are completely rotten. So I want to go back to the question, what was the need of the prophets toward the people? The prophets are the people that feel the network completely. They feel reality from one side to the other. That's him. That's them. What is the social need for such people? That was the question. Why does society get people like this inside the network that see more than other people? First of all, I want to say that it's even written there that the people, there were wars between sergeants in the first temple there. There were arguments in the second temple, and between them and them there was Babylon. They went with prophets and came back with prophets. No, it's not the same degree we're talking about. They understood that we are in love thy neighbor as thyself, and we're descending from those degrees. We're not reaching unfounded hatred, which we don't even know. Today, nobody's in unfounded hatred. Is there anyone that hates the other? I go out, I hate the other? No? Yeah, you need to understand, if I have love in the family, then sometimes I get really heated up that I can hate someone, right? Yes. But if I have no feeling for the other, that's more characteristic of our time. So that even though we say, I hear lots of people talking in the street, where in those days there were people who hated wars and destruction, the prophets themselves wrote, but they wrote against love, that there were ups and downs but in the relations between people, but there was a connection. The connection was sometimes a lack of connection, and sometimes it was a connection, but it was still, there was nothing less than the destruction of the second temple. Even though we say they went out to Galut of Babylon, they were connected to one another. Even though there were wars, we need to understand them. They were still at the corporal level. They were also at the spiritual level, meaning in the good relations to one another, even though they hated each other. Take an example from a family. I don't know what to say. We don't really understand it because we don't have a connection to one another. We don't care what's happening. I hear what's happening there, that they killed someone, they ran someone over. I'm sorry, because tomorrow it could be me. But the fact that it happened to him today, I don't care. I'm not sorry. That's what's happening. You mean actually they had a connection. The connection can be bad or good. Either I love or I hate. But the connection was there. Compared to today, where there's like a disconnection, there's like, it's cold, there's alienation, there's just people don't care. That's the main characteristic. Another question. So, therefore, to understand these things, prophets, what they said, most of their things are what the people understood. They understood because the people realized this network between everyone. Everyone was aware of it. From the reception of the Torah up to the destruction of the temple, to a certain extent, everyone was in the network, and they behaved accordingly. All the behavior according to the Torah and all these traditions, it's all according to knowing the network, how much we're in it. It's all just to strengthen the connection between us. That's why I love thy neighbor as thyself is a great law in the Torah, that the Torah shows us how to connect with one another. So the prophets used to treat this, the connection between people, yes. So if a certain person was a prophet, he had to have... Let's define. You're saying a prophet is someone who sees the entire network of connection, and his job is to talk to his people about how to enhance connections in the network. So here comes the next. He's the spiritual father of the nation. Spiritual mean to give people spirit, love, bestowal, chassidim, etc. And that's in a certain generation, a certain prophet. When we look throughout history, we see that there were certain people. Is there some common denominator according to which people with certain characteristics, they were prophets? In order to be a prophet, to be a person that sees a network till the end, is there some common denominator? When you look at all the prophets, these are the attributes that allow people to develop up to that stage of being a prophet. We see today, according to our verifications, when I speak sometimes, you know, with my daughter, she deals with biology, genetics. So they can even say this person's like this and this person's like that. Inside the person, there's all kinds of things that can be researched and you can say things about him. If we see the network, we also see the place of the man inside the network. And then I can identify I can identify in a person who he is and what he is, what his role is in the network. I'll even tell you more than that. Apart from prophets, there's people in this world that identify, like with Napoleon. As a young sergeant in the army, he came with a few friends of his to some grandmother in Paris, and she spoke about one, what will happen to him, and the other, a fortune teller. And before Napoleon, she really, she said, you're the imperialist, the future imperialist. Who was he, this little tiny guy? Nothing. 40 kilos he weighed. 1.5 meters, or even less. And he was nothing. He was just a little sergeant. He's the son of a king or something? No. How did she see it? She saw it. So you're opening even more interesting discussion now. There's people that from the beginning, from birth, they feel the network slightly more. And there's people that are completely blocked off to it and they can't get reach. So say the people that are more sensitive, they're also more pure. They don't hurt other people. They treat other people better. They understand that love thy neighbor is good, and this is how we need to behave, and they themselves will never do bad things. They're more pure, more sensitive people, but they're born that way. Just like we have more wise and less wise, things that you're born with, traits that you're born with. They're extra sensitive. Just like some people are more sensitive to music or colors than also here. So what's truly the difference between a prophet and a fortune teller? A prophet reaches it through his work. What work? His inner work that he works on himself to get out of his ego, to rise above his ego, above hatred, to love. A regular person, a fortune teller, how can we put it? He doesn't work on himself. He's born like that. There's many people like that. There were many like that. Today there's less. To be a prophet, he also had special traits that he was born with, for sure. And also worked on himself to reach, to see, to feel, to understand the network and see all kinds of situations in it that have already come true and that are about to come true in human society. Because for sure, we're going in good or bad. We're going either through blows or through the correction of our ego. But for sure, we're heading toward the connection between us. There's no way around it. And then the prophet sees, how do we reach soon the connection between us? And then he says, there will be blows like this and this and this on the way if you don't do connections like this and this and this between you. With a finger, he used to warn us as a father. In other words, the prophet is not just someone that sees and reports, like the fortune teller you spoke of, but he also educates. He sees the system, he sees the network. Otherwise, what for? Because this fortune teller, she's talked to those French people, but the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel that they have freedom of choice, that they can do something with themselves. It's not like other nations. The nation of Israel is a nation that has inside it the foundation of choice, the ability to choose, to either advance. That's why there's the status of Mount Sinai. This way is toward life, and this way is toward death. This is where you will be buried. This way or that way, you will bring yourselves to realizing, to love, to complete love, for sure. But it will either be through blows, which is not desirable, or through recognition of this system. You have nature in front of you. Nature has a program. You want to carry out this program? Please. Carry out all kinds of things called the integral education, etc., to implement the connection according to the advancement of the network. If you advance in that, you won't feel pressure, wars, issues, problems. If you don't advance accordingly toward what the network is revealing as more and more integral, then you will feel a crisis up to the wars, whatever. Be careful. Because nature doesn't know, nature isn't, nature pushes us through pressure, through problems, how we see that the animals live, through a struggle. Who wins? Survival of the fittest. The same thing will be here. If you go according to your egoistic human nature, but you can begin to educate yourselves to suit yourself to the correct connection between you. And then in the revelation of the closer network, more connected network that connects you together, you'll be prepared for it, and then you'll feel it is good. And until the entire world feels like a good world. And apart from you, you'll be a light unto the nations, you'll connect them, and people will come to you to connect to that same network, etc. The prophet explains all these things to the people and tries as much as possible to pull the nation toward connection. That's the whole story. If you love thy neighbor as thyself, is that the end of? That's at the end of human development. The prophet's role is to help with that. That's speaking about the people. Connect, it will be good. Don't connect, it will be bad. What about the people? The people, if we look at it, there's an expression that says a prophet is a village. You said before, watch out. If you go to the right, you're going to the right. If you go to the left, go to the left. That comes from Moses. There's prophecies that are really make you prove yourself. Isn't the entire Torah a prophecy? It's also written like that by Moses. That's clear. Also, understanding the network. Whoever feels the network is a prophet. He comes and he says what he sees. He wants things to be good. Let's finish with him for a second and think about the people he comes from. They catalog his things into two kinds. Some prophecies are strange, and sometimes the wise person that comes and talks to us, and sometimes he comes and pats us. But some people said like this, and some people said like this. Now, what is the people? If I'm the population, I would be stressed from the no, from this anger. This would maybe close me off. It depends what kind of situation you're in. If you're in a serious situation, if it's something really threatening, and we're not talking about the fact that I'm saying to you, if you don't wear boots, you won't go into the street, I say to a little child. I'm talking about things that are life and death, and for the entire nation, and I don't have time to educate them. This is how the prophet feels, that he doesn't have time to educate them for a few more years. So he really has to. He actually takes upon himself that same law. Slowly, what does he do? The connection that is closing in on us is bringing pressure to us. This pressure, the form of problems, wars, diseases, hunger, this pressure is called din, judgment. I can't talk about this din that's arriving. No one will hear it. The nation will take upon itself. They'll start pressuring the people or warning them. As heroes, in order to shake them up, because there's no choice. You know, you have witnesses from Kabbalah say that screamed from seeing the Holocaust 10 or 20 years ago, and they said, let's escape, and nobody wanted to hear. Nobody wanted to hear what they had to say. I think they didn't scream loud enough. I can't, God forbid, criticize them, but maybe if they screamed a little bit louder, maybe a few more people would have heard. When we have a million Jews there, and up to the last second, they're thinking that up to the last second, they don't think they're coming to butcher them. They think they're coming to take them to factories to work. So if they screamed more, maybe people would think from the beginning that people were going to be destroyed. This image that you're giving takes me to the new situation. The prophet is right in the middle. He's the go-between. You see something very bad, he sees bad things. The network has to be placed on the people of Israel, and the gap between the network and the society is terrible. This gap, it brings either destruction or war or problems, disease, all kinds of things like that. And now we have the prophet. The gap, it has to do with the extent of the gap. There's a gap between what and what. You and I need to be connected together in such a manner that if you're missing something, I help. And there might be such a gap between us that if you're missing something, there's no way that I don't help. And there may be a gap between us to such an extent that if you're missing something, even without asking me, you take it from me. And I'm happy we have a connection like that, that you don't even need to ask me. I'm happy you're treating me like that, that you understand that I love you and that you can use whatever you need. Is there a difference or not? Completely. That's the difference. So all of a sudden, we discover this network between us, and it's requiring from us. And it depends what preparation we have between us. And in accordance with that, it can be a few blows. Maybe prices going up and something else, other things, some little war, and there can be, God forbid, you see what's happening in the world. You saw what's happened to us. It depends, and a prophet sees where the border is, this critical border, that it's not like this. It's not just like that. We're really getting into the opposite of the network. And then he actually comes with this prophecy. What's the goal of the prophecy? To say, to shake them up to the connection. The goal is to bring about some synchronization, to close the gap. Come back from your bad ways, people of Israel. It gave me a simple example. Let's say a mother with a little kid, where she usually treats him like with education, but if she suddenly sees that the kid runs out into the street and she sees a car, God forbid, coming toward him and he's running, he doesn't understand what's going to happen. Of course, at that moment, she won't be pleasant and educational. She'll stop him. That's actually, I'm trying to explain in a very simple manner. What do we understand in that? But through the family, through all our events, we can understand that whoever sees and sees ahead and sees what we're doing compared to what we need to do, to the extent that we're suffering, that he feels under pressure, it's like a mother with her kids that can't interfere with itself because the freedom of choice is in them. He doesn't have freedom of choice, the prophet. From seeing everything, where does he have free choice? He's not free. He sees it. Choice is only for those that don't see. My choice is to listen to the prophet and do what he says, to take his words as a fact, to such an extent that what I see, I delete so my eyes won't see it, and I take what he says. And in accordance with that, he's my eyes. We need to prepare the people that will be ready for that. That's called Emunat Rabo, the belief of smart ones, the wise ones. I want to go into what is explained in terms of what's called the steps of the Messiah. According to the vision or the prophecy, he's talking about an era where there will be a cultural blackout, there will be a loss of morality, justice. Everything will actually be some kind of chaos between people. He writes it in such a strong and meaningful way, significant way, that even when I prepared this show and I read it, it really awakened in me. It's like a big stop sign that you get in front of you. And he writes there that in this stage, the teens will become old. The old people will be among young people. There will be conflict inside the house. The face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. Kids won't be ashamed of what they do to their fathers. There'll be a situation where no one will be able to trust anyone. The hatred is even in the house, a person's private cell. When I read it, I thought, have we already reached this? Are we already? Or we can see, we're close to it. Now, this point, it's a point that caused me to feel somehow that perhaps we're at a milestone, a fork in the road. We have a chance to go either right or left. And that's the first question. Do we have choice in this matter? First of all, we still don't feel these things. We're beginning to feel it, though. So we're getting distanced from each other. Kids are leaving the house. What do I need to argue with these old people that I couldn't care less about? What they say, I'll rent an apartment, and that's it. This distance. I had enough of the wife and kids, so I get a divorce. We are trying, and the society supports this because they understand that let's maintain peace in this manner. But we need to understand that there's no time. Time does not exist, but this network that connects us is more and more revealed that it's connecting us. It's clearer and clearer, and this is called the element of time. And this network that's becoming revealed between us more and more is bringing such an interdependence that time, place, distance, nothing will help. I'll be choked. I'll feel that everyone's sitting on my head, that everyone's pressuring me. Where are you? You're there, there, there. That's how I feel. And then, when we feel it, it will be closer to what the prophet writes. Without the revelation of the evil inclination, we'll never want to arrange the connection, the correct connection between us. A prophet can scream as much as he wants. It won't help. It's as if we don't feel it. Who saw where there's a problem? Everyone goes out into the streets, and then they're sitting in coffee shops, happy in the streets. It's each man for himself. Everyone's honking at everyone else, and that's normal. The more that we can not see these things, this is how we behave. Now, the question is still, when will I feel this life as insufferable? And this will either be through blows or through education. I can educate a person that even today what he sees will be insufferable. And I can take him down to such an extent that he'll even live like an animal in the forest, and for him that'll be normal. We see people that come back from concentration camps and all kinds of work camps in Russia, Siberia, or all kinds of immigrants. We see a person can live inside the ground. It all depends on education. The question is, maybe we'll educate people. Maybe we will raise them up a little bit. So he'll understand the network between us, how to use it properly, that will reach the good life. Because the bad life, we can go down and paint it and pretend everything's okay. We used to live on trees. We can also climb up there again. I'll scream to you from my tree, how are you, Nitzan? She'll say, I found some dead animal. I ate it. It was so great. Thank God. We can be animals, total animals. So the question is like this. Is it worth it for us to go down? or is it worth it for us to go up? Because the question is, at what limit? Where's the limit? The limit of the decision that this is it. I have to educate myself to be an integral person, a person of the world, a person of the network. Because if we see in examples, people haven't changed in thousands of years. They can go down and live. We see tribes in Africa. We can be like that also. Person can feel that it's fine. Everyone's in the same position, so it's fine. We that see that we're starting to get into a descent, where's this red line? It's not a red line. Where's this point of, where's the breaking point? We, all of us, were always attracted to good. And we always rose up to thriving, to success in all things. A few dozen years already, we're starting to go down, especially in the last few years with the economic crisis. Culture, education, family, it's already broken. The fact that we went through, that we, from going to thriving, we're going downward. Now we need to understand that it's not worth it for us to go down, because going down can be to such an extent that we will even lose our human shape. Even to that extent, we'll go back to being animals. On the way, we have nuclear wars and suffering and disease and heat waves and ice age, etc. We already see that the trend is clear, and everyone's talking about it. All the scientists, psychologists, they're all talking about it. This is a sign that we're already in the beginning, the times of the Messiah. I want to ask here, because if you're talking about the economic crisis as an indication, there's been bigger crises in 29. There was even a worse descent, and we came out of it on top. What about the network indicates that this crisis that we're starting to come out of, what is it that indicates some symbol of turning it around? The current crisis is a global crisis. Recovery is coming from the fact that they're painting all these numbers. You did a degree in finance, accounting. You understand that it all depends how you check. It all depends how you mark things. I have very special articles, how Americans change from -3 to +3. In all their calculations. Because it's also psychological, it wakes everything up, it makes the stock exchange good, and it's all based on people's moods anyhow. There's no rise up, there's a descent economically. I thought you were talking about the relations between people, not so much about money. I'm talking about education, culture, health, the crisis in the family. I'm talking about the crisis in all areas that a person deals with in our world. They're all in a crisis, and for a long time. And we don't see that it's over. I'm not talking about depression and a feeling of desperation and suicide. I'm talking about the situation of all of humanity in general, humanity. There was always on an upward scale. We'll go to the stars, and suddenly just the opposite. In a very, with heaviness, lack of options, helplessness, loss of hope, the future. Why should we have kids? Why should we have a family? Why should we work? You mean it's far beyond money, the crisis. It's our sensations as human beings. It's because the network of connection is coming closer to us, and we toward the network are the opposite. Therefore, we feel it. Now, this is called the beginning of the generation of the Messiah. What does this mean? That we will feel that we need a force to pull us, out of our nature that's destroying us to another nature. Do something with us, because I truly myself, I'm killing myself, I'm killing my kids, I'm killing my wife, I'm destroying the environment like cancer that's eating the environment and has nothing to live off and kills himself, dies himself. It's interesting. It's a cancerous cell, an eternal cancerous cell. Yes, we have billions of cells in the body. If these cells are healthy, then each cell has some period to live, and then it dies, and then the other cells come, the new cells. A cancerous cell doesn't die, but rather is always eating and multiplying itself and renewing itself by itself without dying. That's interesting. When does it die? When it has nothing to eat. When it kills its environment and then it dies. Itself, it doesn't die, a cancerous cell. That's the symbol of our ego. I wanted to ask about the signs of our ego. I see in this prophecy in the days of the Messiah and other wise ones that wrote that after the Messiah, there'll be more chutzpah, audaciousness. It will be greater. There's descriptions that Nitza read that it breaks through all beyond imagination. What are they talking about? That's the ego, our ego, that's not capable of agreeing with anyone. It's not capable of taking anyone into account. What do they say there? The kids, young kids, will obligate the elders to work for them. The bride will overcome her mother-in-law. Audaciousness is the opposite of there's no shame in anything we do. It's the opposite of shame. Shame is the foundation of a person. Because out of shame, and to the extent that he's ashamed of himself, of what he is, and what he does, this is the foundation of his correction. It's not a shame that I'm just ashamed, but toward me that I feel myself, that I have self-criticism. And here there isn't. I even don't understand that it can be, that it has to be. And then in this matter, can you explain to me in an emotional way inside, what is this thing of the audaciousness? What does a person feel? The person who's being audacious, he's not even being audacious. He thinks it's normal. Audaciousness is when you think, it means that you, I feel like being audacious to you, like little kids. And I know that it's not okay, but I do it because I feel like it, because I want to. I have recognition of evil, of good. There's some things here that I do the opposite. And here, the audaciousness is not that I know that it's not good, but still I do it. But I transformed my values. For sure, I'm sure it's supposed to be this way. And I have no feeling that it's bad. But our norms are the opposite of what we heard. Today, it's also not in education. It's interesting to note that one of the most outstanding attributes in Israelis is the Israeli audaciousness. And when you ask Israelis, they'll say it's their audaciousness. Specifically in this period, is this connected to the subject? We're the chosen people. So that's why we're audacious. We're the selected people, the chosen ones. We're special. Our problem is that in our foundation, we have many attributes that we don't feel. Good attributes, bad attributes, doesn't matter. We were supposed to develop them, but we're not capable. Because this life, our education, everything that's happening in the street and the media, it's blocking us. If we would open discussions about it and talk about it in a good, pleasant manner, look what's in the media. There's all this rudeness. They're selling this behavior as an example of how to behave. And afterwards, we suffer from it. I want to get deeper into the Israeli audaciousness. You explain that the audaciousness is that a person does not feel when they say that in the days of the Messiah, the audaciousness would reach the top, the peak. You said people wouldn't feel audacious. They'd feel that this is how it must be, meaning that a person doesn't see anything except himself. And this example demonstrates it. A person doesn't see anything. All the borders are broken. And apart from me and what I want now at this moment, it doesn't even exist. What does it mean about us? It's not in the feeling. It's also proven scientifically. We're an audacious nation, about 1,000 times more than other nations. That's clear and known to everyone. What does it mean from the perspective of the distance between us and this network that you're talking about, this network of connection? Where does this audaciousness that characterizes us as Israelis, and I can say this, that's also proven that there's also something good about this audaciousness, meaning there's something in this Israeliness. On the one side, we're rough and audacious, and we also have this great potential, with all due respect to other nations. The fact that they say, the prophets and the wise ones, that in the days of the Messiah, the audaciousness will reach its peak, it looks to me like something that there's two sides of the coin. On the one, you can look at it in a simple manner, and then it looks like a catastrophe. But precisely within that, there's like this potential of energy inside of it to do the opposite. What do you think about this subject? Why are we more audacious than others in such a clear manner? Whoever needs to reach correction is the people of Israel. They have to reach recognition of evil. He has to reach a state where he'll feel, I'm bad. And therefore, it truly says that if Israel falls, they fall below everyone else. If they rise up, they rise higher than the stars. But again, if it comes to the correction, if from there that I feel that I'm bad, that I recognize that I'm bad, that I'm not willing to agree with this bad, that I have to correct it, then the era of the Messiah, I hope that we'll feel, even in the situation today, it doesn't need to be a greater audaciousness. It's enough what we have today, that we don't agree with it. Recognition of evil is what we need. Hating the evil, that's what we need. So we'll have distance from the bad because the hatred is distancing us. Yes, we need recognition of the evil, but we don't need to go further down for that. It's enough what we have today. Because compared to love thy neighbor as thyself, today as well, you can understand that you are in an opposite state than that upper demand. We're getting close to the end. I would like a sentence or two to try to summarize the insights that you taught us about the prophets of Israel, what they saw and where they took us. A prophet is someone who feels a true network of the connection between us. And from seeing this network, he sees all kinds of situations throughout a time frame from the prehistoric times to the future times. And he can tell us about everything. With him, there's no time. With him, there's situations. And each and every situation is divided into two. The network that's being discovered and humanity, to the extent that they're matching themselves to the system. There's the two inputs, or even one, the difference between the human society. Society is also a human connection between people, and the network that nature is presenting that we need to be similar to. And that's what the prophet sees. This is how they see the future. I really hope that we'll take their words seriously and we'll truly understand that we have two paths ahead, the good, pleasant path if we listen to them and begin implementing Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself with the integral education, and a very undesirable path, which is path of blows, where nature will force us to carry out Love Thy Neighbor as Yourself anyhow. Our time is up. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best and a new life.